From WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting central and northern Michigan. I'm your host, David Nicholas, filling in today for Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, Michigan scientists are seeing a decline in one particular water body which could have long-term effects on the Great Lakes.
We're going to see a very different ecosystem as a state and beyond.
Find out why researchers are concerned about the future of swamps in Michigan. And this week's Brain Teaser features trivia all about a world record that happened in mid-Michigan back in 2001. I'll let you in on the question right after these headlines. The recent ICE arrest of 9 men at a Saginaw Township work site may be linked to a car accident from earlier this month. Public records say one of the men who was detained was involved in a vehicle collision in Zilwaukee a few weeks before he was detained. Shortly after the accident, Luis Jamie Fortin indicated he did not have a Michigan driver's license. According to the records, Zilwaukee Police Chief Jason Wise contacted immigration officials to verify his identity. MLive reported that Chief Wise said Fortin was one of the men arrested over the weekend based on what he was told by ICE. WCMU has not independently verified that. The identities of the 8 other men arrested have not been made public. The arrest sparked protests in Saginaw Township. A report released this week by Interlochen Center for the Arts documents 70 firsthand accounts of sexual abuse at the institution. Interlochen itself commissioned the report, which spans 7 decades and highlights the misconduct of 47 adults who were affiliated with the institution. None currently work at Interlochen. About a third of them are deceased. The report has been sent to the Grand Traverse County Prosecuting Attorney as well as the Sheriff's Department. Trey Devey, the president of Interlochen Center for the Arts, says the abuse described in the report is contrary to everything the institution stands for.
This report is very difficult. It's difficult to read. It's heartbreaking. It's painful. I feel for every alum who had this kind of experience here. It is not what we're about. But it will make us better. And for that, I'm deeply grateful to the alumni who came forward.
The report includes details of sexual misconduct involving faculty and staff, as well as donors, trustees, and even unknown visitors to the campus. Interlochen owns the broadcast license for Interlochen Public Radio, who reported this story, but no senior Interlochen official had any say in the writing of this story before it was published. Public health officials are still investigating how an outbreak of cyclospora, a parasite spread through human feces, ended up in the U.S. food supply. The latest state data shows over 10,000 cases have been confirmed in Michigan, the most of any state in the nation. 193 people have been hospitalized. As Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports, food safety experts say contaminated water in farm fields is a likely culprit.
Thousands of people across the country have cases of cyclosporiasis, an illness causing frequent diarrhea. Federal officials say part of the outbreak is likely connected to iceberg lettuce. Byron Chavez, food safety specialist at Rutgers University, says contaminated water sprayed on crops or mixed with pesticides is commonly how the parasite winds up in fields.
So in this case, that is the most likely scenario, right? It's through irrigation water or some kind of contact water.
Chavez says cyclospora is rare in the U.S. and there's no speedy detection methods for it. He says to pay attention to recalls, but he stresses not all produce is contaminated. I'm Anna Pope, Harvest Public Media.
With less than a week to go before Election Day, the two Republicans running for governor barnstormed across the state this week. Congressman John James campaigned in West Michigan Thursday to meet with farmers and food processors. They voiced concerns over rising diesel and fertilizer costs and overreach from the state's Department of Environment, Great Lakes and Energy, or EGLE. James promised to restructure the department if elected.
EGLE needs to focus more on helping, being customer service oriented, and focusing more on conservation and stewardship than protectionism.
Businessman Perry Johnson talked to voters in Midland at a pizza shop Thursday. He promised to end the state income tax and audit state agencies to find waste, fraud, and abuse. President Trump has endorsed James, but Johnson is confident. Johnson says Trump's advisors have picked losing gubernatorial candidates over the last few months.
And they gave him ridiculous advice in this election. And you can see the momentum is our way.
A new Emerson poll has James up by 8 points over Johnson, but 17% of the 350 likely Republican voters remain undecided. The primary is August 4th. Speaking of Tuesday's primary, six candidates are vying to be their party's nominee for Northern Michigan's seat in Congress. WCMU's Grace Walker has more.
Michigan's first congressional district encompasses 35 Northern Michigan counties, including the entire UP. Republican Jack Bergman has been in the seat for 9 years and is running once again. He is up against Matthew Denotter and Justin Michael in the GOP primary. Democrat Kelly Barr is running for the second time after losing to Bergman in 2024. She will have to defeat Wayne Stiles and progressive Kyle Blomquist to win the party's nomination again. WCMU News sent an identical survey to each candidate asking for their thoughts on AI data centers, dam infrastructure, and more. For more information on candidates' responses, go to WCMU.org. In Alpena, I'm Grace Walker, WCMU News.
And if you can't make it to the polls on Tuesday, early voting is another way you can cast your ballot. But the deadline to do that is tomorrow, Sunday, August 2nd, at designated polling places. Early in-person voting allows you to directly insert a completed ballot into a tabulator, just like normal election day. To find an early polling place and the hours of operation, you can log on to mi.gov/early voting. And now it's time for this week's Brain Teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So let's draw. Today's question: what shattered a Guinness Book of World Records record by growing 837 heads in St. Charles, Michigan? Again, what shattered a Guinness Book of World Records record by growing 837 heads in St. Charles, Michigan? I'll let you mull over that golden nugget in your noggin to come up with the answer right after this. Michigan ecological researchers say that swamps are starting to diminish throughout the state, and the findings are that it's primarily man-made. To talk more about this, WCMU's Tina Sawyer reached out to Don Uzarski from Central Michigan University's Biology Department. Uzarski leads a wetland monitoring program through the Institute for Great Lakes Research.
The biggest surprise is lately that some of the research some of your students have been doing is finding that some of Michigan's swamplands are shrinking. Now, is that in all of the areas that you've tested, or is it just in certain areas?
No, it's widespread, but of course the places that are more populated, it's happening much quicker. So what we've seen, because if you look at the different types of wetlands, the swamps, they're actually the driest type of wetland and the easiest to develop. But the real problem is, even if we do wetland mitigation, we can't recreate them.
Why are they shrinking?
Well, they're not necessarily shrinking. They're just the easiest to develop. So they get developed.
I see.
And even if Michigan Eagles says, okay, if you're going to develop that area or that wetland, then you have to create more wetland somewhere else. But the problem is we have not been able to master that perfect hydrology.
So we can't recreate them exactly if the land is being developed and we're losing those swamplands. So what can people do to protect them before they become developed?
Well, that's the hard part. So you basically have to get lawmakers to say these are important areas that serve different purposes than marshes or other types of wetlands, and get them to protect them. And our lawmakers have weakened that protection of swamps in particular.
Yeah, because like you were saying, it's like a filter for all of our water. Yeah.
It is. And even our surface water, if this filters while the water percolates into the sediment, that water in the sediment eventually, you know, it becomes groundwater, mm-hmm. and the groundwater is actually flowing, and it makes it to our Great Lakes and other water bodies that are surface water.
So, Don, you hear a lot of talk about PFAS. Are they also found in the wetlands and swamps around the area?
Unfortunately, they're found everywhere.
Yeah, and that's a concern, too.
Yeah, it will take care of it to a point, mm-hmm. but there's so much in the environment, we still have to worry about it.
If we can't stop these swamplands from being developed, what can we expect if that should happen?
We're going to see a very different ecosystem as a state and beyond. I mean, it costs money if we lose these systems. So everything becomes more expensive to clean water. I think the biggest thing is try to protect them on your own property. But my main concern is usually water quality. And protect them on your own land and vote.
That was CMU biology professor Don Uzarski talking with WCMU's Tina Sawyer. To find out more information on the Great Lakes Coastal Wetland Monitoring Program, log on to WCMU.org. Now it's time to reveal the answer to this week's brain teaser. This week's question reads, what shattered a Guinness Book of World Records record by growing 837 heads in St. Charles, Michigan? Again, what shattered a Guinness Book of World Records record by growing 837 heads in St. Charles, Michigan? And the answer is a sunflower. It's National Sunflower Weekend this weekend, too. Yes, a single sunflower grown in September of 2001 by Melvin Hemker of St. Charles in Saginaw County grew up to 9 feet tall, had 45 branches, and sprouted 837 heads. Also, Mr. Hemker grew the Frankenflower en naturel without fertilizer, with one branch displaying 116 sunflower heads. And if you got that right, that's what I call using your head. Well, that's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to Between the Lakes newsletter, linked in the show notes, where you'll find out more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, WCMU.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. The podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Shaw. Mike Horace is our executive producer. I'm your host, David Nicholas, filling in today for Tina Sawyer. Enjoy your weekend, and don't forget to vote.